2009 National Crisis Bible Study Lesson Number 75, April 27th, 2009. Last class, I took you back to an old-time fiddling contest between two brothers running for governor to show you the games that people play in the political world over the years. Music has always played a big role in politics to a certain extent, depending on the areas you win down there. Another thing, showmanship. Facades are created. People do it. We see it in the churches all the time. The mega churches with their big choruses, choirs, praise teams, they call them these days. They don't have choirs, but they have praise teams. The musical instruments and all. They're playing, that's why they want to attract people, pay attention to them and to their way of doing that. Man always has an answer to everything he thinks. Religion has the same way of doing it. We're dealing with God's indictment of a nation. We're dealing with the doctrine of crime. We dealt with marriage in the last class, finished up with the concepts of marriage. The facades that we have in America today in the name of what we call marriage. We're now legalizing same-sex marriages. At the same time, we've already set up a whole system to work against the preservation of heterosexual marriages in America. Through no fault divorces, irreconcilable differences is all you have to say. Walk away from responsibility in life. Americans are good at walking away from responsibility. We all do it. He said, I never done it. Oh yes, we have. We all fail. For all of sinning comes short of the glory of God. We placed ourselves in a position where we're destroying our nation. To the breakup of marriage, destruction of the family, the interference of everything from child protection agencies or whatever the government sets up in child control, the public school systems, PTA, and anything else to interfere with the responsibilities of parents and home. And if people don't like that, they'll probably get me in a lot of trouble. It's politically incorrect. It's based on the principle of the Word of God, just like on the law of individuality. We violate a lot of the rights that God intended for people to have of choice. One thing you can't force someone to believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. Choose you this day whom you shall serve, but ask me in my house we shall serve the Lord. Joshua said. We can teach the truth of what's going on and stand on the principles of what God's Word has to say. All right, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit, followed by objectivity teaching of the Word of God before we begin the class today. God and Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise. Your word will not return void, but accomplish all you design it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory, now and forever. Amen. All right, we got down to major point six in Doctrine of Crime. Major point six, when negative volition to God, his truth is maximized in a nation, then crimes of violence are increased, and God uses this as a judgment upon the nation. When negative volition to God, his truth is maximized in a nation, then crimes of violence are increased, and God uses this as judgment upon the nation. Hosea 4, 1-6, our very text that we're dealing with here. Hosea 4, 1-6. I'll read you from the New American Standard Translation this morning. Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case. And we saw that means an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. Because there is no faithfulness of kindness or knowledge of God in the land, there is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, adultery. They employ violence, so the bloodshed follows bloodshed, therefore the land mourns. And everyone who lives and languishes along with the beasts of the field and the birds of the sky and also the fish of the sea disappear. Let no one find fault and let none offer reproof for these people who are like those who contend with the priests. So you will stumble by day and the prophet also will stumble with you by night. I will destroy your mother, that means your nation. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I will also reject you from being my priest. since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The nation will be rejected for her priestly position before God, set aside for the sin and evil that was upon it. We'll see that the bloodshed follows bloodshed as one murder following another, leaving a trail of blood throughout the land. The case that God has against them. Look at Micah 6:2. Listen, you mountains, to the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, because the Lord has a case against his people. Even with Israel he will dispute. God, verses 4 and 5, says, indeed, I brought you up from the land of Egypt and ransomed you from the house of slavery, and I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. My people remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled them, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him. Shed them to Gilgal, in order that you might know the righteousness acts of God. God is prosecutor in this cosmic courtroom. Verses 1 and 2. States his case. He rescued Israel from Egypt here. He gave his leaders the intended, and Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. He reversed the intended curse of Balaam in Numbers chapters 23 and 24. He brought his people into the promised land, Shittim being the last encampment east of the Jordan River, and Gilgal the first on the west bank. Verses 6 to 8, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the Lord? The God on high, shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with your God. The reply to God, Israel proposes to make up for a sin by offering sacrifices, but God replies, he had previously told him, Deuteronomy 10:12, he prefers obedient spiritual people through justice. In contrast, to their violation of his law. We need justice in the land. Point 7, behind all crime is the deterioration of the individual soul of the criminal in a downward path of reversionism. Behind all crime is the deterioration of the individual soul of a criminal in the downward path of reversionism. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men or imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Subpoint A. All criminals are arrogant, and in their egocentricity, they love themselves more than God. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. The whole period between the writing of this letter by Paul in 67 A.D. and the Lord's return, the rapture, as he returns, draws near, these characteristics will intensify, according to 1 Timothy 4:1-5. Alright, verse 2, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied the power, and avoid such men as these. We have down through verse 9 a complete description of the breakdown of law and order through mass corruptions. For among those who are entering into the households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins led by various impulses, All right, they take these women. Fascinated. The women get fascinated by them because these men are people who have the outer semblance of godliness, but without the spiritual dynamics. They are not living through the filling of the Spirit and the application of Bible doctrine. The weak women are women, apparently, because of sin, were changeable of mind, prone to accept new ideas and swayed by impulses. Verse 6, for among those who entered in the households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led by various impulses, always learning and never coming to a knowledge of truth, such as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so that men also opposed the truth, men of depraved minds, rejected as regards the faith. These names that appear in the Old Testament, late Jewish, pagan, certain early Christian writings, they are applied to the Egyptian magicians who performed counterfeit miracles in opposition to Moses, Exodus 7, 11, and 22. They are the symbols of the folly of opposing the truth of the Word of God, denying the reality and the power of Bible doctrine. Verse 9, but they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of these two came to be. Look at 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 5. But the Spirit explicitly says in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Means of hypocrisy of liars, seared by their own conscience as a branding iron. Men forbidding marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by a lot of those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected is received with gratitude, for sanctified by means of the Word of God and prayer. Paul attacks heresy or false teaching is inspired by demons and demon doctrine, proclamated by the hypocrisy of the liars who teach the false doctrine. The Christian should live affirmatively, neither renouncing the world for a life of self-denial nor plunging into indulgences here. The denial of eating of meat is part of the scar tissue of the soul. The whole vegetarian movement is a demon movement, according to this. Evidently, eating meat is in some way has a protect people from demon problems. Point B, thus the criminal has no capacity to love God or his fellow members of the human race. Deuteronomy 4, 2 to 10. Deuteronomy 4, 2 to 10. You shall not add to the word which I am commanding you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord has done in the case of Baal Peor. For all the men who followed Baal Peor, the Lord your God has destroyed them from among you. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. See, I have taught you statutes, statutes, and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me that you should do thus in the land where you are entering to possess it. So keep it and do them, for this is wisdom, and do your understanding in the sight of the people who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise, understanding people. For what great nation is there that is as a God so near to it as the Lord our God, whoever we call on, whenever we call on him? For what great nation is there that has statutes and judgments as righteous as those, this whole law which I am setting before you today? Only give heed to yourselves. Keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, so they may be learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and they may teach their children. Exodus 20. 1 to 17. Thus spake God all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's the beginning of the 10 words of the law. They were written on two stone tablets, according to Deuteronomy 34:28 and 31:18. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Now the Jews regarded verse 2 as the first commandment. They were, in other words, they were to remember the Lord who brought them out. Verses 3 to 6 is the second. Roman Catholics also grew verses 3 to 6, but regard them as the first commandment. Then divide verse 17 in two commandments, part out of a total of 10. Most Protestants consider verse 3 the first commandment, verses 4 to 6 the second, verse 17 the 10th. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in the heavens above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and children, the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath for the Lord your God, and it you shall not do any work. You or your sons or your daughters, your male or your female servants, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Now verse 7 is a prohibition against swearing, Leviticus 19:12, and frivolous use of God's name. The use of the oath of affirmation was not forbidden in Deuteronomy 6:13. The Sabbath served as a holy day and a day of rest for both man and animals, commemorating God's rest after the work of creation, comparing Genesis 2:2 and Exodus 16:23. Other instructions for the Sabbath day were handed down to the Jews in Exodus 35:3, Leviticus 25, Numbers 15:32-36, Deuteronomy 5:13-15. Now, it's important to note that this is the only one of the Ten Commandments that is not repeated after the day of Pentecost. The church makes Sunday her day of worship, Acts 27, verse 7, commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first day of the week. However, in the first church, according to Acts 5:42, they daily had church services 7 days a week. We're not under the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was not given to the Gentiles. It was given directly to Moses. Verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gave you. Proper order in the family becomes the basis for a solid social structure. Deuteronomy 21:18-21, Ephesians 6:1-4 teaches. You shall not murder. King James says kill. The word is murder. The law differentiated accidental killing from deliberate murder and required capital punishment for premeditated murder, Exodus 21:12-14, as well as for numerous other offenses, 21:15-17, verse 29 following. You shall not commit adultery. The commandment against adultery applies to both the husband and the wife. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servants or his female servants or his ox or his donkey, anything that belongs to him. The other commandments basically concern actions. This one deals with thoughts. Sin usually originates with false desires in the soul. The lust trends of the old sin nature tempting the soul, James 1:13-15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God, for God is not tempted by evil, he himself does not tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he carried away and enticed by his own lust. The lust turns of our nature of corruption, also known as the old sin nature of the flesh, the old man. Verse 15, then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's the sin unto death. Sin unto death. And we compare this with Romans 1:18-32. Romans 1:18-32, the reprobate mind of the immoral person. The criminal is an immoral person. And we have the downward trend. Verse 16 actually is where it should start with. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm sorry, verse 18. Let's take verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written. But the just or the righteous man shall live by faith. All right, the criminal rejects the principle of faith, so we have the condemnation of the Gentile, unbeliever, the immoral man, in chapter 1, verses 18-32. We have the Gentile moral degenerate in chapter 2, verses 1-16, and the immoral religious degenerate in chapter 2, verses 17-29. All right, the downward track of the criminal and the immoral depravity. The cause for condemnation is willful ignorance of the Word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. All right, this is God consciousness. Every man reaches God consciousness. It reaches the mental capacity. One nth of a degree, that's how minute it could be. Above that of a moron, a mentally retarded person incapable of comprehending God's sin and the need to be saved. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, been understood through what he has made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they know God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for the image of the form of corruptible man, of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Beginning in verse 18 down through chapter 3, verse 20, we have the indictment of the world, showing why man needs the righteousness of God. Man is condemned because truth was given to him in verses 19 and 20, and because by his acts he has rejected the truth. I'm sorry, verses 21-32. Verse 20 teaches us that we just read that all men are without excuse. Things that are made, creation revealed to all men, natural create God's natural revelation, natural theology. The truth that God exists. So that the rejection of truth makes man without excuse before God. Every person who holds on to and believes in the damnable lie of evolution suppresses the truth of the Word of God and hardens their soul against God, even if they are a believer in Jesus Christ. Professing to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Man enjoys delusion instead of reality. Most of you, I'm sure, have heard of the Grand Ole Opry. If nobody else, for me. You may hate country music, but listen to an illustration too. Let me explain something to you, because I'm going to show you something about delusion. The Grand Ole Opry has long been, for many years, was looked down upon in Nashville, Tennessee. It was considered to be the music of the low class, partly because of the delusion that was built into it by Judge, the old solemn judge he was called, George D. Hay, who founded it. It was actually not the first of its type radio, big time radio country music show. George D. Hay, who was a southerner, was actually born in Attica, Indiana in 1895, 120 miles south of Chicago. But it was a sort of a rustic, backwards place when he was born there. He was later a newspaper reporter. He worked for the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, Tennessee, went up to Chicago, Illinois, where he was working with and helped start the WLS Barn Dance, the National Barn Dance, which preceded the Grand Ole Opry. This was in 1924, WLS Unlimited, the trackless pass of the air. Sears Roebuck built WLS, which stands for the world's largest store, and opened the radio station in 1924. Judge Hay was editing the radio program for the Commercial Appeal broadcast station on Beale Street and sent out press releases to papers back in Chicago, such as Defender. On August 2, 1923, Hay became the first broadcaster in the United States of America to announce the death of President Warren G. Harding. In 1924, he was hired by Sears as a permanent announcer for the new station WLS, which opened in Chicago that year. Coming to Chicago before that, working for the Commercial Appeal in 1922, he went on the radio with WMC. One of the first wire service stories about Hay is written up in the Nashville, Tennessee on June 27, 1926, telling about the man. Well, he created the Grand Ole Opry out of the National Barn Dance. He was invited to come down to WSM when it was created and came in and took over. You may think I'm giving you filler here, but I'm not. Listen carefully. I'm going to show you something. Shortly after he came to town, he made the acquaintance of a man who was already appearing on the Grand Ole Opry before he got to town, Dr. Humphrey Bate. Dr. Humphrey Bate was a medical doctor and a band leader for entertainment on the side. Dr. Humphrey Bate was a famous man in the Nashville, Tennessee area before the arrival of George D. Hay and before the creation of the Grand Ole Opry. Dr. Bate was born in 1875 in Sumner County, Tennessee. He graduated from Vanderbilt Medical School prior to the Spanish-American War in 1898, where he served in the medical corps. It has been reported for years that among the things that Dr. Bate did was organize a band while he was in service there, and that they played for our Lieutenant Colonel Teddy Roosevelt, later President Teddy Roosevelt of the United States. And this has been reported in enough places that it could well be accurate and true, though some deny it. It's a known fact that on October 20th, 1899, the doors of the Confederacy put on a fiddle contest, an additional reward for things, including for string bands, Jews harp, and French harp, that's the harmonica, as competition besides the fiddle competition. Dr. Humphrey Bate and the band, consisting of Ashley Hamilton, P.D. Ballot, A.C. Womack, Sewell Chenault, and J.C. Snow, won the band contest. In 1919, some 20 years later, Dr. Humphrey Bate was still playing the harmonica. A.C. Womack was still playing the fiddle. Womack was still playing the fiddle in the group. Sewell Chenault was still playing the guitar. And P.D. Ballot was playing the cello. It's not known whether it was J.C. Snow or Ashley Hamilton who played the banjo. One of the two played the banjo for it. Dr. Bate. Dr. Bate became the first regular member, one of the first regular members of the Grand Ole Opry. And George D. Hay created a facade called the Possum Hunters and dressed these people up, Dr. Bate and his Possum Hunters. And the word went out and around the country about these rustic old mountaineers. And he would talk about how these people came down out of the hills to play their music here, there, and everywhere. What they were doing. Uncle Jimmy Thompson did come down out of the hills to play the fiddle. He was reportedly known about 1,000 tunes. He had won many fiddle contests and was crowned the national champion out in Texas back in the early 1920s and all. Played with his daughter. I'm sorry, his niece. On the Grand Ole Opry. Down there. And he was, and Uncle Jimmy Thompson was a rustic. His wife, second wife, he'd been a widow by his first wife, would dance, we call the buck and wing buck dances and things out there for it, and he was very rustic. But playing with him was his niece, Eva Thompson Jones, who was a music teacher, voice teacher, piano player and all, living in Nashville, Tennessee, and was a part of the staff band of WSM for playing all kinds of music that you could imagine down there on the group. Mrs. C.R. Klein played a hammered dulcimer on the show, accompanied by her husband on the guitar. Mrs. Klein's first name is not known, just Mrs. C.R. Klein, accompanied by Mr. C.R. Klein. She played a hammered dulcimer, a long cry from the rustic band stuff they might have. She was a native of Westmoreland, Tennessee. And it's interesting to see. So what am I trying to, I'm telling you this stuff. I'm trying to tell you something. The Grand Ole Opry started out coming down as a hayseed show. Uncle Dave Macon, who was the first superstar of the Grand Ole Opry, was actually a star of vaudeville. He was in his 50s when he turned professional as a musician. He had played vaudeville theaters all over the United States, I should say the South, the East, and the Midwestern part of the United States, particularly in the Deep South and all, with his banjo, appearing with Fiddling Sid Harkreader. He had sold many records, thousands of records by him had been sold across the country. There were family bands with piano players and all kinds of other instruments in on it, played in there in those days. People completely did not understand what it was all about, but they were given a facade. All right, we have a facade that is the facade of the criminal that is ripped apart by Romans 1. Verse 24 sets down the difference between how the world looks at something. Having grew up in the Deep South and grew up with the fact that I know there's no such thing as country music. Even the so-called Tennessee or East Tennessee or Smoky Mountain string bands, a number of them had piano players. Alcyone Bate, the daughter of Dr. Humphrey Bate, played the piano in his band. Dr. Bate himself could play the piano. Uncle Dave Macon would sit down at the piano at the Grand Ole Opry, and when he wanted to play hymns over the air at the Grand Ole Opry, or he would play the piano instead of the banjo. For what he was at down there. There were other piano players on the Grand Ole Opry in the early years down there, but these things were not talked about as much, shall we say, out there. There was a facade being presented. They took these pictures, these people, and made rustic pictures of them. There were a couple of brothers who played on the Grand Ole Opry for years that ran businesses, and most of them, the people held businesses in downtown Seattle, downtown Nashville, that were regulars on the Grand Ole Opry, some of them very, very talented in their own fields of what they were doing, and people didn't understand this at all and missed out on it. But he gave them names like the Possum Hunters, the Fruit Jar Drinkers, the Gully Jumpers, the Mountaineers, to make things sound good behind the scenes Edwin W. Craig, the founder of WSM Radio, and his son, Edward Craig, David Stone, and Eldon Stevenson, Jr., who were running it on a professional business based on the concepts of WSM's insurance business, National Life Insurance Company. This tremendous station, they were using it to sell insurance to the people. They were creating a facade. All right, verse 24 says in Romans chapter 1, therefore God gave them over in their lust to their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You will notice what happened. God gave them over to do what they want to do. He gave them over to the reprobate mind. And what did they do? They worshiped and served the creature. Man became the God. Humanism, and man became their God. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for the woman exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. The same way also the men abandoned the natural function, the women burned their desire toward one another, male homosexuality. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the deep penalty of the error. And just as they did not see fit but to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to the depraved mind, the reprobate mind, King James says. Do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinances of God, that those who practice those things are worthy of death, they only do the same when they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Verses 26 and 27 speak of the sexual perversion was prevalent. Verses 29 to 32 that sin, mental attitude to sin, overt sin, sins of the tongue were all three rampant in the country. Only people themselves sin, but they encourage and vicariously enjoyed the sins of others. As those who turn their television on discreetly to watch girls run wild or something like that, see. I don't watch much television, don't worry about it. I'd rather read or listen to music or something. Since we can't get certain, can't get the music, most of the music that I used to like, or the gospel music on and country music that I like and things like that. About the only thing I watch is football, occasional baseball game, ice hockey game, college basketball a little bit, never professional basketball anymore. Very little of that. My wife watches cooking shows, and other things we watch are old movies we filmed on VCR tape or something that we've got years ago. I'd rather watch a Gene Autry, the singing cowboy, or Jimmy Wakely, or Roy Rogers, or John Wayne, the three Musketeers, the Durango Kid, and watch most of the modern stuff on these days anyway. Sure, yeah. My wife likes British mysteries, the television British mysteries. She watches some of those when they're available. And the old black and white mysteries of the 1940s, the Boston Blackies, the Shadow of the Charlie Chans, the 30s and 40s, Mr. Wong, etc., the Saint. But what I try to tell you is that just as television and as movies and stuff take real life and paint the picture the way they want you to see the picture, like the fictional book writer does, the old sin nature puts on a facade to cover the total depravity that's within it in the criminal mind. You look at the criminals that have been exposed, the white-collar criminals of the last few years, but you realize that there are many criminals working for banks, for financial institutions, for all kinds of big business today that have figured out ways to cheat the customer for maximum profits, change the rules, be as immoral as I can, write all the things in fine print so people can't read it. that have a criminal bent. They may not have gone all the way yet into embezzlement or something, but they have a criminal bent in their lust for power and their lust to control, their lust to make a profit. Point 8, the failure to enforce justice against the criminal when a nation comes under the influence of bleeding heart sentimentality actually perpetuates crime in the nation. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 to 13. Ecclesiastes 8, 11 to 13. Because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the heart of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. Although a sinner does evil 100 times and may lengthen his life, still I know that it will be well for those who fear God, who fear him openly, but it will not be well for the evil man, and he will not lengthen his days like a shadow because he does not fear God. Now, in verse 10, Solomon had bemoaned, we didn't read it, the absence of apparent retribution for evil. Then he goes on to point out it'll be taken care of. So when I have seen the wicked buried, those who used to go in and out of the holy place, and they are soon forgotten in the city where they did this. This too is futility. The criminal may get away with things. The immoral man, the morally degenerate man, the religious degenerate man may get away with all kind of things. But eventually the things come to light. Eventually justice takes over. If by this world it will be brought forth at the white throne judgment when Jesus Christ has kept the books and all things will be laid barren related to the unbeliever at the judgment seat of Christ related to the believer. The issue at the white judgment seat of Christ will not be our sins. It will be our failure to utilize power of God in our life, through the filling of the Spirit, the application of Bible doctrine, and the lost opportunities we have versus the rewards if we have any successes in our life. Some people are so sure they're going to get all these crowns. I have no illusions that I'll have any crowns. If God gives me something, it'll be grace. He provided all the opportunities. We think we've got all the answers to everything. And people are out there hustling so hard to do things for God. Yet God is the one who must open the door and must accomplish what it is. My friend Cornelius van der Breggen closed his book, The Dutch Village, telling about the founding of Reapers Fellowship and the things that they accomplished over there. With these words, it is the Savior who satisfies his presence when birds sing songs at dawning, his nearness when evening shadows fall. His understanding when no mortal understands, his faithfulness when earthly friends have failed, his grace when you need it most of all, his peace when the sea is lashed by a storm, his strength when your own is all but gone, his word when your soul cries out for light, his calm when the world foretells defeat, his voice when the devil roars and roars, his vision that he gives you in the night, his fulfillment more wondrous than a dream, his wounds that he bore to make you his smile. The smile, the sweetest smile that's known, his life that gives to the sinner's vile, his love that will never, never cease. Psalm 107:9 says, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. All true satisfaction must come from God. The criminal will never find true satisfaction. The more he steals, whether it's legal theft, which happens, we've dealt with that, as Pastion has pointed out, whether it's outright theft, immoral theft. Legal plunder is still theft. There will be no final satisfaction within these things. Point 10, moral depravity is the court system. Moral depravity in the court system means law enforcement without justice and righteousness to many. Only our passage in Hosea 4, 1 to 18, which we've read so many times. Blameless. We read, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 5. They hate him who reprove in the gate. They abhor him who speaks with integrity. The people indicted for hating honest judges. The gate of the city was where the justice was administered. Therefore, because you impose heavy rent on the poor and exact a tribute of grain from them, though you have built houses of well-hewed stone, yet you will not live in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, yet you will not drink their wine. All right. What happens? Legal plunder. Heavy rent is put on the poor people who rent the homes to make more profit. Everything taken to the level of what you can get. Tribute of grain from them. You build houses of well-hewed stone, yet you will not live in them. You plant vineyards, yet you will not drink their wine. Why? Because God's going to interfere. For I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous and accept bribes, or just the corruption of the court system, and turn aside the poor in the gate, that's in the judgment houses. Therefore, at such time, imprudent persons keep silent, for it is an evil time. There comes a time when you can't say too much. And I'm called to teach the Word of God. I've got to teach the truth. For a time when even I have to be extremely prudent in who I talk to, about what I talk about, because they do not understand. Our nation long ago abandoned constitutional government. I taught back in 1976, I believe it was, or 75. That the Constitutional Republic as we know it ended with the presidency of James Buchanan, having been corrupted along the way, beginning very quickly. And that we went through the first dictatorship under Abraham Lincoln, a military dictatorship. The Indiana state legislature was sent home by Governor Throckmorton, who later changed his name to Morton. Lincoln gave federal rebate money for the first time, but gave the states money back, which is quite common today, which we got all the programs of our current president, began with Abraham Lincoln, giving rebate money to the state of Indiana to keep them going until they could hold a new election after he raised an army in Indiana to conduct the election. Indiana was, had the state legislature not been dissolved, even though there were no slaves in Indiana, the Speaker of the House had already informed the governor that they had the votes to succeed and join the Confederacy because they believed in the state's rights government. Nevada came within one vote in the state in their state territory in their territorial legislature of joining the Confederacy. It was the promises that Abraham Lincoln made to them that they would never be subject to the to certain moral laws, which is why the United States government could not allow legalized gambling in Nevada when it was forbidden anywhere else in this country. While Nevada has maintained open legal prostitution all these years, because certain things were grandfathered in. The agreements that have to make Nevada a state. Go back and study your history. You can learn a few of these things. You may not believe me, but that's the fact. Now, the facades were there, though, of what would happen. Government, all the things that you read about. The credit card companies gave massive credit to people they knew that couldn't pay their credit card bills and made the profit up off of other people by unjust interest rates. Now they're raising them again. They're writing all kind of rules. They're saying we can't make it on what we've got. And the poor suffer. The poor can't afford the lawyers to go into court and defend themselves. Verse 12 again. For I know your transgressions are many and your sins are great. You who distress the righteous accept bribes. Turn aside the poor in the gate. That's the place of judgment. because that's where the courts met in the city gate. Therefore, at such time, the prudent person keeps silent, for it is an evil time. Verse 14 is the mandate, seek good and not evil, that you may live. People are commanded to turn to God and seek good and not evil. Stop robbing the poor, stop taking bribes if you're a judge. Thus may the Lord God of hosts, that's the God of the armies, be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate, that's in the court system. Perhaps, it doesn't guarantee it, the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God of the armies, may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. A terrible time. Verse 16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the Lord, there is a wailing in all the plazas and all the streets, say Elisaleth. They also call the farmer the mourning and the professional mourning lament, and all the vineyards there is wailing, because I shall pass through your midst of you, says the Lord. Professional mourners, usually women, were hired to come and weep at these funerals, Jeremiah 9:17. Speaks of this. All right, judgment begins to disappear. The criminal element takes over. And this is what we got. Point 10, the answer to crime is the acceptance of God's standard for national justice. Romans 13:1-4. Every person be subject to the government, for there is no authority except for God, and that was those which exist established by God. Therefore, those who resist authority and oppose the ordinance of God, they have proposed, will receive condemnation on themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have fear? No fear of authority. Do what is good. You will have praise the same, for this is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing, for it is a minister of God. An avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. God has given the state the power of life and death over its subjects in order to maintain order. Therefore, one should hold government in healthy respect. Subpoint A, laws especially against violent crime must be enforced. That's verse 4 that we just read to you. B, the enforcement of laws promotes an atmosphere of respect for all legitimate authority, verse 1. C, a leader in a nation needs to possess genuine love for his fellow citizens, personal freedom for their marriages and their families, so he will enforce laws with justice and mercy, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Principle, a good judge will not make decisions based on political support, political opinions, financial gain, political correctness, or future promotions. There are a few men like this in government, sad to say today, because of the evil that's within our country. D, love means a strong society is established based on God's temporal law, life system of law. E, rehabilitation is not the responsibility of government, but demands spiritual rebirth. All right, that's Romans 13:4. For he is the minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing, for he is the minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. You need to be born again, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We put that with 2 Timothy 3:14-17. You ever continue the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which were able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Point 11, nations punish criminals, they do not rehabilitate them, Romans 13:4, which we just read to you. Point 12, murder is the greatest of all overt crimes. within the human race concerning temporal life. Murder is the greatest of all overt crimes within the human race concerning temporal life. Hope you can understand me all right. My voice is beginning to go. This is only the second hour of teaching, first time in a week, but I'm having a lot of problems. But we'll finish the second hour up today. Probably be it for today. I'd hope to teach three, but I don't think I can handle it. All right, subpoint 8 is the only overt crime among the seven sins the Father hates the worst. Proverbs 6:16-19. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven, which are an abomination to Him. The list, though specific, is not exhaustive. Look at Proverbs 30:15-18 before we read the list. The leech has two daughters. Give, give. There are three things that will not satisfy, four that will not say enough. Verse 18. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, for which I do not understand. Give, give are the names of the two daughters. The judgment, the body will be unburied for the birds to feed on as you get the judgment in between. Sheol and the barren womb. Earth is never satisfied with water. Father never says enough. The eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother. The ravens of the valley will pick it out and the young eagles will eat it. There are three things which are too wonderful for me, for which I do not understand. The way of the eagle in the sky, the way of the serpent on the rock, the way of the ship in the middle of the sea, the way of a man with a maid. That's the way of an adulterous woman. She eats and wipes her mouth and says, I have done no wrong. All right, we have first of all in seven things he hates. Haughty eyes. That's haughty eyes, New American Standard. That's a proud look in the King James. It's pride. A lying tongue. All right, the first one's a mental attitude sin. The second one is an overt, I'm sorry, is a verbal sin. Now, 1 John defines the biblical primary concept of a liar. Who is a liar? He that denieth the Christ, he is Antichrist. To deny the person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the truth of that, becomes the key issue in lying. Not that God approves any lie, but the great concept of lying is the denial of the Christ, either as our Savior, till you die and go to hell, or if you believe in Christ as a Savior, as the Commander-in-Chief of your life, daily by day, as the commander of you as a soldier in the Royal Army of God, the Prince ruler over you as a diplomat in his ambassador corps, because we're told we're ambassadors for Christ as the high priest of the kingdom of priests in which we are to worship and serve the Father. Hand, the third one is hands that shed innocent blood. This is murder. Heart that devises wicked plans. This is mental attitude sins that run rapidly to evil. Feet that run rapidly to evil. This is running around looking for something to practice, some evil deed to do. Getting excited, looking for it. Running here and there, to and fro, everywhere, looking for some involvement. Down to Cancun to take part in the wild parties of Cancun. Off to here, off to there. All the things that people do. A false run, feet that run rapidly to evil. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly, evil, a false witness who utters lies. This is testifying a court of law falsely. One who spreads strife among the brothers. One who would divide the house of the living God. By sowing seeds of discord among the people. Sowing seeds of discord among the people. Well, our time is about up. My throat is shot. We'll pick up here and look and more great detail at murder in the next class. All right, let's pause for a moment and close in prayer. Give you time to think about what we've taught today. Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We thank you my voice held up for these two classes. We thank you that I was able to have this stamina energy to teach them this morning. We pray you continue to give us the strength to teach this series and get out this doctrinal truth to believers before it's too late. I pray you supply our personal needs and those of the ministry and those of all the people involved in this ministry. We now wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, anxiously saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.